And we'll read one verse together in unison. We're reading from the King James Bible. If you see someone who does not have a Bible, please share with them your Bible. Psalm 116, verse number 15. And let's read together in unison, shall we? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Let's read it one more time. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for a King James Bible. Lord, just thank you for being such a wonderful God to us, the way you've blessed, provided, protected all these years and led us. Now, dear Holy Spirit of God, please speak to our hearts this morning. Help us again not to be a distraction or be distracted this morning. Lord, I don't think I'll be long this morning, but I hope the folks will pay attention and listen, please, for the furtherance of the gospel. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Psalm 116, verse number 15. The Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. 2 Peter chapter number 1, the Bible says in verses 10 and 11, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me repeat that. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you read that verse carefully, I believe you will come to the same conclusion I have come to, that how you are living when you die will determine your entrance into heaven for all eternity. What will you be doing when you take your last breath? I believe for all eternity we shall either remember or know or have a constant reminder of how we were spiritually when we died. Many of you in this room have suffered setbacks, troubles, problems, and heartaches. Some of you are carrying heavy burdens today. Some of you today have broken hearts. Some of you today, your dreams and hopes and aspirations have been dashed and destroyed. Some of you today, what you thought was for sure God's will has been taken by the wind. Some of you today are carrying hurts and wounds that no earthly balm can heal or soothe. I have learned many truths from this King James Bible about life, and one of the surest truths of life is that heartaches and problems abound. And although we may have either seen suffering or have experienced it firsthand, there is one thing that I have learned in life that far surpasses all the trials and burdens and persecutions and heartaches and problems that Satan can throw at us, and that is eternal salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. I do not think we make enough about salvation. I think most believers today almost seem to minimize it or take it for granted. That's reflective in the way that they live. I believe most believers almost yawn about someone trusting Jesus to be their Savior, having forgotten how merciful God Almighty was to them when they knelt in contrition and receive the pardon of their sins for all eternity and salvation from hell. I really believe most believers neglect so great salvation. You do not have much control over events or circumstances in your life. I believe sometimes you do, but I believe most times you do not. I do not believe God will hold us accountable for the things that have happened in our lives that were not of our doing, if we could have prevented them or avoided them. Because our souls are trapped in these bodies of flesh, we tend to focus more on physical things than spiritual truths. That's why it's very common or natural for a man to dwell on a loss or a hurt or a betrayal or a devastation in their life, a wound or some other heartache that people just cannot shake off for whatever reason. Those events continually haunt our minds without notice, and they pop up and are replayed in our minds over and over prior to and ushering in our very own private pity party. Job said in Job 14:1, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. Few days and full of trouble. Welcome to life, ladies and gentlemen. I believe the reason so many people contemplate suicide is because someone did not teach them just how difficult life could be. And they were never taught realistically about the struggles of life itself. Not just the travesties that come our way, but even the daily struggle between the flesh and the soul. It is a spiritual battle, ladies and gentlemen. All of us have had our share of disappointments, mistakes, errors, missteps, and deceptions. All of us have battled the flesh, whether successfully or unsuccessfully at times. But even with all the difficulties and trials of life that may come our way, deservedly or undeservedly, there is one matter that is totally in my hands, and that is that I can die right. I want to die right. That's the title of my message this morning. I want to die right. Yes, we should make spiritual decisions for God that will change our lives and our hearts and our desires. Yes, we should live such a life that makes an impact on others. That's virtue. Living such a life pulls people closer to God. I am all for that. But I want to talk to you this morning about dying right. I want to die right. I am so looking forward to dying. I mean that. Because the second I close my eyes here on this sin-cursed earth, the very next sight will be my Savior, my Lord, my God, my Master, the Creator of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I know there is a certain fearful looking of the judgment seat of Christ that most of us do not want to go through. Yes, I know death is the finality of life on earth, and people are nervous and afraid to die because no one's ever died before. But I am looking forward to dying. You say, preacher, you're sick. And I say, thank you, that's a compliment. You know, one of the best compliments I ever received was when I was in the Marine Corps. Because I was a court reporter, I was stationed in headquarters company with the Staff Judge Advocate's Office, SJA. And that's where the military trials and courts martial and hearings were held. I tried getting transferred out of there a few times, but all my requests were denied. It was just too soft for me. When I went into the Marine Corps, I never told them that I was a court reporter. And after boot camp, they sent me to intelligence school in Fort Benjamin Harrison in Indiana. Before enlisting, I had been working for Foster Court Reporting at the time, what I believe was the best court reporting firm in Philadelphia. But I made a vow to God Almighty that if Ronald Reagan won the election, I would volunteer and go into the United States Marine Corps. So President Reagan won the election November 1980, and I went to Parris Island, South Carolina, February 1981. And I loved it. I mean, I really loved it. The Marine Corps boot camp weeds out the boys and the sissies who aren't man enough to handle physical stuff and mental games. I loved it. Well, anyway, while I was in headquarters company, it was our time to go to the gas chamber. At least once a year, all the Marines were required to go to the gas chamber. Well, being in headquarters company, as you can imagine, we had some women who were typists and secretaries. And by the way, women should never be in the military. I don't care what you think, what your opinion is. They have no business being in any part of the military. But they were there. And so they were required to go to the gas chamber as well. Now, you have to understand, this is over 30 years ago. No cell phone, no internet, no computers, no laptops, no iPads, no iPods, whatever they are. So I can't remember what kind of camera I had, but I brought along a small sort of Instamatic camera with me, and I put it in my camis, in my cami pocket. And we came out of the gas chamber. What a sight it was to behold. Most of the women were choking or puking or being tended to, and I think one was being carried away on a stretcher. I was going around with my camera taking pictures of the women thrown up, puking their brains out and being attended to. My sergeant came up to me and said, Kalidas, what are you doing? I said, I'm taking pictures. He asked me why. I said, to prove why women have no business in the Marine Corps. And that sergeant gave me one of the best compliments I've ever received in my life. He said, Kalidas, you're sick. Now, when a Marine Corps sergeant can tell you're sick, ladies and gentlemen. You say, Brother Cletus, that wasn't a very nice Christian thing to do. Well, I want you to know that your sissified attitude is the same attitude that gave up on the King James Bible. That kind of mentality gave up on the old-time religion when you didn't have enough backbone or courage to do what was right. Those kinds of spineless people who speak and act so pious in their non-independent fundamental Baptist churches are the traitors of Korah's spiritual descendants who railed against Moses and God. They're afraid to speak against their alma maters. They're afraid to tell people the truth of the Catholic heresies and the wicked Pope in Rome. They're afraid to witness to people. They're afraid to go street preaching. Pastors are afraid of their deacons and elders, and missionaries are afraid of their mission board, and graduates are afraid of their college and alumni fellowships. Unfortunately, for the vast majority of believers today, people do not fear God. They fear losing their job. They fear losing their salary and money. They fear losing their family. They fear losing their house. They fear getting arrested. They fear getting fined. They fear going to jail. They're afraid to lose their health. They're afraid to hand out gospel tracts in public. They're afraid to knock on a stranger's doors and give them the gospel. And they're afraid to die for that very reason. They're not right with God. When I was in the Marine Corps, after they found out I used to be a court reporter, they sent me to legal school to learn military law. Most of the students there were pretty much smarter than myself. But a buddy and I there studied hard, and we were in the top two or three of the class at about, I don't know, 30 or 40 people. We were looking forward to graduation to see who would come in first, second, or third. And right before graduation, the very last week of this two or three month course, the staff sergeant told us in class that we would be having a party on the sand dunes of Southern California outside San Diego, Camp Pendleton. And I raised my hand, a beer party, you know. And I raised my hand and I asked politely if it was mandatory to attend the party. He answered in the affirmative. I raised my hand again and asked him if we volunteered to stay here in the barracks instead. Could we clean or do some other work instead? He answered in the negative. I raised my hand the third and last time and I asked him, what would happen if someone decided not to go to the party? The staff sergeant told me, private, slick sleeve private, the lowest ranking court reporter in the history of the Marine Corps. Are you impressed? Are you impressed? He said that student would be expelled from school immediately, not graduate, not get any credit for the course, and would have to report back to their commanding officer at their home base as to why they were expelled. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I did not go to the party. You cannot put enough stripes on your sleeves to intimidate me to go to a beer party. You cannot have enough bars or silver leaves or maple leaves or birds or stars on your collar to intimidate me to go to a beer party. I respect authority, but I love Jesus Christ most of all. When I got saved, all my relatives and the priests were trying to pressure me and convince me why I should not leave the heretical Greek Orthodox religious organization that I grew up in. But I learned then that my God was bigger than all of them combined. And God gave me the courage and the backbone not to compromise and capitulate. When I was getting arrested those seven times for preaching on the street corners in downtown Troy some 25 years ago. Can you imagine? It's been 25 years ago. Most people were against it, even spineless pastors in this area. The judge said, Reverend, you can't keep doing this. And my answer was simply, yes, sir, I can. And you saw what happened this past March when our church gave away those two modified AR-15 rifles. The left-wing socialist media went berserk. You know why? Because they're spineless cowards, ladies and gentlemen. Let me just say something. I received more support about my street preaching 25 years ago and our church's rifle giveaway from common folks than I did from pastors, even among Baptists. That there should tell you how spineless and compromising and aloof and noncommittal these so-called pastorettes are. They're not called of God, ladies and gentlemen. God does not call wimps and cowards into the ministry. God does not use spineless, sissified, henpecked traitors to do his work. He never has and he never will. A real man is looking forward to the day he takes his last breath and meets Jesus. You ought to do yourself a favor and read Fox's Book of Martyrs. And I don't know if you can read the whole book without weeping. I believe one of the most dangerous things about someone is that they are not afraid to die. They may be somewhat fearful, somewhat nervous, and a little apprehensive, but a man that is not afraid to die strikes fear in the heart of the opposition. Unfortunately, the devil-inspired Muslims strike fear and terror in the heart of most Americans because most Americans are spineless and afraid to die for what is right. If you are afraid to die, I would suggest that you should not be in my immediate company. You should just get out of my way. If you are afraid to die, my advice to you is do not hang around me and do not walk with me because without a moment's notice, I'm ready to go home. I want to die right. I do not want to die earlier than I'm supposed to. I would love to live as long as possible so that I can be a blessing and a help to as many people as possible and fight Satan in this crowd for as long as possible. But I'm ready to go home. I'm not against the other branches of the military service. Believe me, I appreciate what every single veteran has given to our country and for this country. But blessed be God, if there's going to be a battle or a war, I want to be on the front lines. I want to be in the heat of the battle. Support is necessary to any battle or war. Logistics and communications are vital aspects of any conflict. But I want you to put me on the front lines. When they bombed the embassy in Beirut, Lebanon, I was a second in line volunteering to go there in a long line of hundreds of Marines who lined up to volunteer to go to Beirut, Lebanon. I am not intimidated by any opposition I face in life. My God is big enough to deliver me. I try to be polite to everyone, whether they are my authority or whether I'm their authority. But ladies and gentlemen, there is not one person on planet Earth that can intimidate me any longer. Not one. I am not intimidated by a police officer with a gun. I am not intimidated by the city council or a city mayor. I am not intimidated by the governor or the community organizer who lives in public housing at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C. I am not intimidated by the rich and powerful. I am not intimidated by politicians, Republican or Democrat. I am not intimidated by the hellish Pope in Rome or his devilish bishops and priests scattered throughout the world. I am not intimidated by the one world government. I am not intimidated by the socialists. I am not intimidated by the sodomites, the feminists, or the abortion crowd. I am not intimidated by my church. I am not intimidated by any living being, human being on this planet, or any extraterrestrial being, or any ninja or Star Wars figure with laser beam swords, or any science fiction beings concocted to frighten people in sci-fi thrillers or make-believe land. Church members are more afraid of losing their church building than losing the power of God. Church members are more afraid of what others think about their church building than fearing God. Church members are more afraid of making the church services run smoothly than fearing God. I'm not afraid of anyone. I love my wife, my children, my grandchildren. I'm not intimidated by any relative alive. I'm not afraid of my uncles, my aunts, my cousins. The only person that could intimidate me was my mother, and I buried her in Agios Dimitrios in Greece in 1983 in the mountain village she was born in. I may not be smart or have a high IQ. This is the way God made me. But I am looking forward to death. I can choose that. Some things in life I cannot choose, but I can choose how I look forward to death. I may not be the best at my profession, but I am looking forward to death. I may not be the best husband, the best father, the best grandfather, but I am looking forward to death. I may not be the best pastor or preacher, but I am looking forward to death. I may not have accomplished all that I wanted to in life, but I am still looking forward to death. Most choose compromise and giving up and giving in instead of dying while trying. If Jesus tarries, death will be that glorious time where my spirit and soul will be loosed from the prison of this flesh. Death will be the time that I shall escape the bondage of this vile flesh, the Bible says. Death will be the last pain I shall ever experience again. Death shall be the mechanism that will change my physical address. Death will be swallowed up in victory. Death will be but for a moment. Death is nothing more than a graduation for a believer. Death is the door through which we fly to heaven. Death will then reveal the eternal life Jesus gave me in November of 1978. One of the major reasons why our society is falling apart is because people are afraid to die. As during the Cold War and even now, there are too many people rather be red than dead. Today, there are too many who would cave in to the devil Muhammad's followers. Cursed be his name. Today, most people are afraid to die. They want to live and enjoy the pleasures of life than see Jesus face to face. They would rather go on vacation than see Jesus. They would rather relax and play games and play sports than be with Jesus. They would rather watch the idiot screen with his stupid cartoons and stupid videos and movies and see Jesus. The question is, how are you going to die? Where will you be when you die? And what will you be doing when you die? I would love to be preaching when I die. I would love to be giving a Bible study when I die. I would love to be singing a gospel song or a hymn when I die. I would love to be witnessing for Jesus when I die. I would love to be leading someone to the Lord when Jesus comes and calls me home. I would love to be preaching outdoors on a street corner when I die. I would love to be reading my King James Bible when I die. I would love to be kneeling in prayer when I die. I would love to be in church when I die. I want to be right when I die. my heart, my life, and most of all, my doctrine. Too many of God's people look like the world, they smell like the world, and sing like the world, and act like the world, and think like the world. You are not ready to meet Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen. It's like most believers would rather postpone the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for as long as possible. Like, put it off. It's like most believers would rather enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season than be with God. It's like most believers would rather extend their stay on earth than being a pilgrim just passing through. You will regret it in eternity, ladies and gentlemen. Born is the man into this sin-cursed world, and then into hell he is finally hurled. All because he rejected salvation and now lives eternally in damnation. What brings a man to an animal state will only be revealed when it is too late. This body of flesh, now cursed by sin, and his soul to hell, he is now hastened. How sad to live from curse to curse, and then death only makes things worse. To go through life with hurt and pain, only discover in hell you'll remain. For all eternity, the torments of hell, you'll know your earthly body was rather swell. This body we so much take for granted, as a beautiful gift to us it was handed. The normal birth of the small healthy skin seemed to obscure the flesh of sin. The newborn child is so full of life, far removed from the scars of strife. The toddler who crawls and starts to walk will quickly learn that Satan will stalk. The child then babbles and starts to speak, and he knows not that he is weak. He grows by leaps and bounds, growing muscles and putting on pounds. His teenage years have now lengthened, his mind and body slowly strengthen. But unbeknownst to the naked eye is a looming day that he will die. It is not stamped on his forehead to tell to others when he'll wake up dead. Most youths will never give it a thought unless they've been otherwise taught. They go to school or now work a job or from the government legally rob. The games and school and friends of life, a newfound husband, a pretty wife. The first nice car, apartment, and house. And other interests are now aroused. They're too busy for God in eternity and slowly fill the ranks of the enemy. Then God in his mercy looked down from above and sent a soul winner filled with love. God had broken us and had us prepared the very moment our soul was spared. When Jesus entered our heart, he gave us a brand new start. I remember so well that night on my knees, Lord, would you save my soul, please? It's been now some 36 years, though I have suffered heartache and tears. My mind has collected wounds and scars as innumerable as the stars. I felt the pain of loss of friends as each life suddenly ends. I've known the triumphs of victory during my short span of history. I've been blessed without measure. I've been showered with God's pleasures. I've seen my share of sorrow and joy, the graveyard sight and the birth of a boy. And though the years have come and gone, my heart still sings his songs. And though my body is waxing old and shall be laid in the sod so cold, I'm pressing on the upper way, new heights I'm gaining every day. This body now is slowing down, but I'm looking for that golden crown. The crown I'll lay down at his feet when my Savior I shall meet. I know not the day or hour, but I've already trusted his saving power. O wretched man that I am, but I've trusted God's holy Lamb. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Listen closely to what he saith. I thank God through the Jesus Christ the Lord. That is God's holy word. Like Abraham once said, I consider not my body now dead. I reckon my mind to the things of God while I tread below the earthly sod. I long for, I patiently wait for the entrance through that pearly gate. I wonder sometimes who else I will meet. I still miss my mother so sweet. Friends who were saved will all be there, and for all eternity we will share the glories of heaven and eternal life. No pain, no sorrow, no worry, no strife. These thoughts of heaven now flood my soul and seem to make me completely whole. Though this body is now dying, my soul within its prison cell is sighing. For one day soon I shall escape and take my flight across the landscape. That thought just now in my mind belies my decaying body's signs. For though the outward man may perish, I possess my God whom I cherish. Yes, the bones may crack and break, but I shall see Jesus when I awake. So sin and death may slow me down, but watch my soul at the trumpet sound. They'll bury this vile flesh of mine, but I'll be drinking the heavenly wine. In my casket, you'll take a glance, but on streets of gold, I shall dance. I'm sure it'll be Greek dancing too. You may sorrow at my demise, but that's when my soul shall arise. That hope within me could be now, even though my body doth presently bow. My heart is quickening in the race, though I tread at a slower pace. My thoughts abound in things above, and to the one I owe all my love. What an entrance that will be, when from this body I shall be made free. This pilgrim then will no more roam, for I shall be eternally home. My eyes are weaker in their sight, but I can clearly see the light. My body functions a little slower, but I'm hastening the pace of this follower, of this follower. In my body are two extremes, the one awaiting to bust the seams. My memory now is fading some, while I'm still praying, thy kingdom come. No pain on earth can compare to the joys of heaven up there. I won't be long now in this place, for I long to see him face to face. I cannot reverse this aging process, but I can tell others what Jesus says. A dying sinner to others dying, who broken heart and inside sighing. While this body is setting on idle, help me preach the King James Bible. I'll give the gospel while I'm able, not a worldly Disney fable. My hair is thinning and also graying. My soul inside is always praying. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. We shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Job said in Job 1:21, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most people are working and making money as if they're going to stay here for a couple hundred years. Most people are cutting other people's throats and walking all over them to get to the top. Most people are jealous and envious of others doing better than themselves. Most people are filled with hatred towards those who truly love Jesus because they're convicted and guilty and their conscience is bothering them. Most people are afraid of what other people think about them than doing what is right before God. Most people crave other people's attention and their stamp of approval. Most people are like sheep, just going along with the flow of the majority in whatever group they belong. Most people live their only life they get to live, just meandering through the land of comfort. Most people are satisfied with not going out of the box of their comfort zone. Most people are living their lives so the least amount of people can criticize them. Most people are afraid to go over the line that brings ridicule and contempt and mockery and persecution. Most people just settle into their accepted behavior of life of religious normalcy. I don't want to be normal, ladies and gentlemen. Most people are afraid of being called the black sheep, different than everyone else because of their love and obedience to the King James Bible and living a holy and separated life unto God. Most people are afraid to ask the religious leaders and their teachers tough questions and pinpointed questions about doctrine and salvation and the Holy Bible and eternity and the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty. I am not for embarrassing people or leaders or authorities, but what they need are fearless people who put them on the spot and demand an answer when they have denied the inspiration of the King James Bible. Most people are afraid of the faces of disapproval that they know others would make with contempt. Most people are afraid of the consequences of disassociation of their so-called friends. Most people are afraid of losing whatever influence they presently have that they can use to exert on others. Most people are afraid of having a stigma attached to their name and their testimony, especially in the internet age. Most people would just be happy to go to a ball game, watch their television, watch their movie, put up their Jeremiah 10 Baal tree, and just sing along with Mitch and the world in a festive spirit of Antichrist. Most men are afraid of their wives. Most men are henpecked. Most men are sissified. Most parents are afraid of their own children. The parents are afraid to spank and discipline their children today. Most parents are more afraid of DSS and CPS than they are God. They're afraid of their neighbors and relatives about their home lifestyle. There was a time when citizens looked up to and respected authorities. There was a time when citizens looked up to and respected police officers. Now the muggers and the rioters are instilling fear into citizens who want to put cameras on policemen. You do not need cameras on policemen. So why? It's for our safety. I say all we had to do is get rid of all the police. The reason we do not get rid of all the police is because people are afraid. You would then see how quickly people start believing in and exercising their Second Amendment right when you get rid of all police officers. We live in a police state where not only are people afraid of muggers and rioters and rapists and murderers, but now they're even afraid of policemen who sometimes misuse their power over people. The only local authority outlined in the Constitution is the county sheriff, ladies and gentlemen, the sheriff and his deputies. Most people are comfortable with the police state for their protection. They feel safe, for peace of mind. Most people today are comfortable with police stops for no reason but their own protection. Most people ask for police help. They seek police protection for their own safety. I do not need the police, ladies and gentlemen. I do not need the sheriff. I do not need anyone except the Lord Jesus Christ. God is well enough able to protect me and provide for me and deliver me. Spineless people beg for help and safety from the government and not from God. I do not know how long God will let me live, whether now or another 50 years, but I am ready to go home. I want to die right. I want to die fearing God and no one else. The reason people do not obey the King James Bible is because the fear of man bringeth a snare, the Bible says. They're afraid of what others are going to say or think about them. That's why you don't live right. You're afraid what others are going to think about you. They're afraid of being called a fundamentalist. I am not afraid of that. I consider it a badge of honor. I want you to know that we didn't come up with the name fundamentalist. That was the world to make fun of us, to mock us. You know, the world hates us, and the world hates Jesus, and the world hates the King James Bible. Think about this for a second. The world thinks nothing wrong about the fundamentals of math, or discussing the fundamentals of science, or studying the fundamentals of biology, or believing the fundamentals of chemistry, or the fundamentals of anything, except when it comes to Jesus Christ and the King James Bible. People are afraid to even discuss salvation because they're deathly afraid of dying. They don't want to even think about it or bring it up. Whenever we have ever gone to a funeral, I have always taken all my children with me. Spineless people would get babysitters for their children. They wouldn't want their children to see the corpse in a casket. I say the sooner your children learn about death and the finality of life on earth, the sooner they will mature and appreciate life. But most parents today are so immature, all they want to do is play with their little kiddies and keep their little monster amused and buy them toys, especially around this time, you know. Go into debt and buy your little monster some toys that you can't afford. Buy them some games just to keep them occupied. Let them sit in front of the television because you can't take it any longer. And that's why they talk to their children baby talk instead of having their children grow up mature. Hey, parent, you know those children that God gave you that you ruined by giving them cell phones and iPads and iPods and computers and flat screens and video games? How's it going now trying to control that monster, that spoiled, rotten monster? Because most people were afraid to be strict and stern with their children, now their children are out of control. Out of control, and they're an embarrassment to you and to God Almighty. You know why? Because we were afraid of doing that which was right and what God had said, and we caved in to the pressure of this spineless, wicked, and adulterous generation that we live in. This left-wing socialist and the atheists of this world make you tremble. I say, I have no idea when, where, or how, but I plan on dying right. I want to die right. Because I believe for all eternity, we're going to know how we die. Not just the physical aspects, but I'm talking spiritually how we were when we die. I mean, God has preserved forever in His Word how Stephen died. He was preaching and praying for the folks that were stoning him to death. The Bible is written, recorded for us how Elijah was caught up, how Enoch walked with God and was not, how Samson died, how David died, how John the Baptist died, how Joseph died, how Saul died, how Ananias and Sapphira died. The most written about death in the Word of God is the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, the most important death that has ever occurred. Thank God, death could not hold him. Thank God, death could not stop him. He is no longer in that grave. He is sitting on the right hand of the Father. Muhammad is still dead, ladies and gentlemen. Buddha is still dead, ladies and gentlemen. And every founder of every other false religion is still dead. Joseph Smith is still dead. those deaths and raptures that are written down in sacred scripture for all eternity are for all of us to see and read. Not just now, but for eternity we'll read about it. We'll know about it. We'll talk about it. And you do not think that your death will be forever remembered? Ladies and gentlemen, do not ever underestimate me and my love for God and my willingness in obeying whatever God says in the King James Bible to the best of my ability, whether you agree with it or not, whether you like it or not. I am longing to see my Savior. I am looking forward to seeing His face. I am looking forward to bowing on my knees, prostrate on my face before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I am so looking forward to that day that I do not want anything to interfere with my dying right. In order to die right, you must be living right. I know some of you have said goodbye to some very dear ones this past year, and your heart is broken. It seems empty without your loved one. Some of you are facing an uncertain future because of what some doctor has said, and the prognosis does not look good. Some of you are just getting up in age, and you know very well your time of departure is soon approaching. You say, "Preacher, how can I learn to be as fearless or brave like that? How can I be the man or lady God wants me to be?" I cannot answer that, my friend, because the one who taught me was buried in her hometown in 1983. My Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:8, "Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof." Everybody gets so joyful and happy with a newborn baby, and as we ought to. We love to cuddle it in our arms, just watch it, goo-goo with it, make it smile. My Bible says better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. If a birth of a newborn baby brings you so much joy, blessed be God. If you're a child of God, just think about your death, and the next moment you'll see Jesus face to face. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior, I'm happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. I praise Him because He appointed a place where someday through faith in His wonderful grace, I know I shall see Him, shall look on His face, for He is so precious to me. And someday I shall see Him face to face to thank and praise Him for His wonderful grace. Jesus is all the world to me. I want no better friend. I trust Him now, I'll trust Him when life's fleeting days shall end. From Him who loves me now so well, what power my soul can sever? Shall life or death or earth or hell? No, I am His forever. Oh, how I love Him, Savior and friend. How can my praises ever find end? Through years unnumbered on heaven's shore, my tongue shall praise Him forevermore. Then I bid farewell to the way of the world, to walk in it nevermore. For my Lord says, come, and I seek my home, where He waits at the open door. When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white, pure and white in the blood of the Lamb? Will your souls be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Life's day will soon be o'er, our storms forever past. We'll cross the great divide to glory safe at last. We'll share the joys of heaven, a harp, a home, a crown. The tempter will be banished. We'll lay our burdens down. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Or if on joyful wing, cleaving the sky, sun, moon, and stars forgot, upward I fly. Still all my song shall be, nearer my God to Thee, nearer my God to Thee, nearer to Thee. Are you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. For Christ's coming kingdom, are you sighing? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Take the world, but give me Jesus. In His cross my trust shall be. Till with clearer, brighter vision, face to face my Lord I see. I know I shall see in His beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. When He shall come with trumpet sound, Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. When with the ransom in glory his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. More about Jesus on his throne, riches and glory all his own. Near the cross I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. Are you afraid to die this morning? Do you believe the word of God? Do you love Jesus this morning? Blessed are those whom the Lord finds watching, in his glory they shall share. If he shall come at the dawn or midnight, will he find us watching there? Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright home? Say, will he find you and me still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come? Stand up for Jesus. The strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally. O thou God of all, hear us when we call. Help us one and all by thy grace. When the battle's done and the victory's won, may we wear the crown before thy face. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the toils of life repay. When all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore will through the ages be glory for me. When by his grace I shall look on his face, that will be glory for me. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. Or all o'er those wide extended plains shines one eternal day. There God the sun forever reigns and scatters night away. No chilling winds nor poisonous breath can reach that healthful shore. Sickness and sorrow, pain and death are felt and feared no more. When shall I reach that happy place and be forever blessed? When shall I see my Father's face and in his bosom rest? There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. I'm ready to go home, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, if there's only one song I can sing, when in his beauty I see the great King, this shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Thou the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me. Whom have I on earth beside thee? Whom in heaven but thee? When my life work is ended and I cross a swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and his smile will be the first to welcome me. Oh, the soul-thrilling rapture when I view his blessed face and the luster of his kindly beaming eye, how my full heart will praise him for the mercy, love, and grace that prepare for me a mansion in the sky. Through the gates to the city, in a robe of spotless white, he will lead me where no tears will ever fall. In the glad song of ages, I shall mingle with the light, but I long to meet my Savior first of all. I shall know him, and redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him by the print of the nails in his hand. Someday the silver cord will break, and I no more as now shall sing. But oh, the joy when I shall wake within the palace of the King. Someday my earthly house will fall. I cannot tell how soon 'twill be. But this I know, my all in all has now a place in heaven for me. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. Are you ready to die? Are you ready to meet Jesus? You're going to die one day. You're going to take your last breath one day. When my spirit clothed immortal wings his flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. And Lord, haste the day when the face shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend, even so it is well with my soul. I'll love thee in life, I will love thee in death, and praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath. and say when the death dew lies cold on my brow, if ever I have loved thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. The long, long night is past, the morning breaks at last, and hush the dreadful wail and fury of the blast. As o'er the golden hills the day advances fast, the Comforter has come. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing thy power to save. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown and behold thee on thy throne, Rock of Ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Are you ready to die? You are going to die. If you're going to die, die right. Die right. Do right. Believe right. You only die one time. You're going to have only one entrance when you get to heaven. You better decide to die right. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly while the near waters roll, while the tempest still is high. Hide me, O Savior, hide till the storm of life is past. Safe into the haven guide, O receive my soul at last. Sweet hour prayer, sweet hour prayer, may I thy consolation share till from Mount Pisgah's lofty height I view my home and take my flight. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. Are you ready to die? Let's all stand. Dear Heavenly Father, please, dear God, speak to our hearts. Dear God, do thou a work in our hearts that only you can do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Whatever your need is, you do business with God. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Let's pray.